Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tridyante Katamristas. Krishnaya Prashamoyataha. Nirvairam Yatra Bhuteshu. Nodvega Yatra Kashchana. Translation: wherever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vaikuntha means, quote, without anxiety. And the material world means full of anxiety, as stated by Prahlad Maharaj. Sada sanmud vigna diyam asat grahat. The living entities who have accepted this material world as a residence are full of anxiety. A place immediately becomes Vaikuntha whenever the holy topics of the personality of Godhead are discussed by pure devotees. This is the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnuho, chanting and hearing about the Supreme Lord Vishnu. As the Supreme Lord Himself confirms, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhaktaha. My dear Narada, actually, I do not reside in my abode, Vaikuntha. Nor do I reside within the hearts of the yogis. But I reside in that place where my pure devotees chant my holy name, discuss my form, pastimes, and qualities. Unquote. Because of the presence of the Lord in the form of the transcendental vibration, the Vaikuntha atmosphere is evoked. This atmosphere is without fear and anxiety. One living entity does not fear another. By hearing the holy names and glories of the Lord, a person executes pious activities. Srinvatam, Sokata, Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. Bhagavatam 1:2:17. Thus his material hankerings immediately stop. This Sankirtan movement, started by the Society for Krishna Consciousness, is meant for creating Vaikuntha, the transcendental world that is without anxiety, even in the material world. The method is the propagation of the Shravanam Kirtanam process throughout the world. In the material world, everyone is envious of his fellow man. Animalistic envy exists in human society as long as there is no performance of Sankirtan Yajna, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Prachetas therefore decided to remain always in the society of devotees, and they considered that to be the highest benediction possible in human life. Yatre dhyante kata mristas trishnaya pashamo yataha nirvairam yatra bhuteshu nod vega yatra kashchanaha. Whenever pure topics, translation, whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least on Sunday morning. At least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from any anxiety or fear. Once a reporter was interviewing Srila Prabhupada and said, "Swamiji, your movement is growing so fast. Maybe one day the whole world will become Krishna conscious." And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada's reply was, "Don't worry, that won't happen." But then he said, "But if it does, then this world becomes Vaikuntha." Or, in establishing the first International Society for Krishna Consciousness in July of 1966, according to the requirements of law to incorporate a not-for-profit organization. Here you call it it's a charitable organization. In America, it's a not-for-profit corporation. You have to state the purposes. And then as long as the purposes conform with a not-for-profit, then you're granted not-for-profit status. So among the purposes, there were seven, and one of them was, very curiously, to establish places of pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how do you do that? Because where Krishna appeared, or Ramchandra appeared, or various forms of the Lord appear, that becomes a place of the Lord's pastime. So how do we go about establishing places of the Lord's pastime as a purpose of our organization? And it's presented here by gathering together and hearing and chanting the message of the Personality of Godhead. He becomes present. And one of his pastimes is he cleanses the hearts of all those who are present. Even their hearts may be very dirty. And acts in their lives in very wonderful ways. That's also pastime. Engages them in his loving service. On the wall up here, there are these two big murals. One is Krishna's Rasa Lila, and over here is Lord Chaitanya and his Sankirtan party in Navadvip. So, one devotee, during Prabhupada's presence, it was Rameswar Prabhu, said, "Srila Prabhupada," he was a little shy to present this, but he was expressing a realization that when we engage in Sankirtan with Lord Chaitanya, or we're engaged in the book distribution of this message of Krishna, the mood of doing so is the same mood as the rasa dance. It's joining with Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the singing of the praises of Krishna through the glorification of His holy name. And Prabhupada verified, yes, this is correct. Although the Gaura Leela is arms upraised just like we see in the painting, the portrayal of the Sankirtan pastime and dancing, it's a form of it is different than the rasa dance, but the mood of it is not different. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is inviting us into that, even on this plane, physical plane, entering the spiritual realm by engaging Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhaktir Uchate. So that's very high. So we'll come down a bit. And what the verse is describing directly, the previous verse, of course, was the ultimate benediction. Utashishaha, the greatest, highest benediction is getting the association of pure devotees of the Lord. But what do you do in the association of pure devotees of the Lord? You do what they do. You bhajana kriya. Sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, because that's what they do. They engage in hearing and chanting about that object of their love. When you're with somebody that loves somebody, they're talking about that person they love. Besides the teaching of Krishna consciousness, the love, the dedication, the surrender, the commitment that persons have for our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, it's profound. It's compelling. Now, how to sustain that in time as generations pass, time passes and generations pass, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is rooted in Srila Prabhupada. The teachings, the Gaudiya Vaishnav teachings are in the background, and in the foreground is Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. When I came here to Hyderabad, you know, seeing this like big structure over here, because when I was here before, it was getting started, but it wasn't. But wait till you go to Mayapur. That's like a sandbox. Child play. The structure that's coming up in Mayapur, it's huge. From what I've been told, you'll be able to see it from Calcutta. There's already boat tours of European tourists coming up the Ganga from Calcutta to come visit Mayapur. While we were there, there was this whole big cruise boat. It's like, you know, it's on the map. And previously there was a plan that, you know, back in that land behind the current, you could say, campus of our ISKCON center, that's where the temple would go, and it wasn't working out because of West Bengal law that says a charitable organization can utilize for their religious purposes only a certain amount of land, acres or kattas or bigas or whatever, you know, because it's agricultural land. Though we're right in the middle of rice paddies, so it's agricultural land. So finally it was decided we'll put the temple right on ISKCON, you know, right in the middle of the campus. And when it's over, right next to the huge temple of Vedic Planetarium is Prabhupada's Samadhi. And even Prabhupada's Samadhi is taller in height than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place, the Yogpith. And the domes that are surrounding the main dome are the same height as the Samadhi. And then the main dome is huge. It's like, you know, there isn't such a structure. A religious structure. There's skyscraper buildings in big cities that are taller, but as far as religious structures, it's almost as tall as the Vatican in Rome. It's huge, and you know, big. Anyway, and right next to it is Prabhupada's, in its own separate residence, is his Pushpa Samadhi. Fitting. The altars are going to be the disciplic succession, Panchatattva, and Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakis. So as you're taking darshan, you approach the disciplic succession. And by their blessings, Panchatattva, and by their blessings, Radha and Krishna. And in a separate, under a separate dome is Lord Nrisingadev. He has his own place. Because scripturally, Lord Nrisingadev should have his own temple. Anyway. But access to that is through Srila Prabhupada. So going forward in generations to come, that preeminence of Srila Prabhupada as our founder acharya is critical, both internally, especially internally, but even externally. There was a letter that Prabhupada wrote in July 1974. In capital letters, it was titled Topmost Urgency. Topmost urgency. And Prabhupada wanted two things established in all the corporate documents, you say here in India, memorandums of association, rules and regulations, also called bylaws in the West, and whatever are the legal documents that establish in a given country or state or wherever the existence of an ISKCON center. Prabhupada wanted two things established legally, binding, can't change it. Prabhupada's name mentioned as the founder acharya of this organization. And the second was that he had a executor, that's a legal term. After the departure of someone, they have an executor of his estate, of his will, and that the GBC should be that executor. And he wanted it in every document, legal document, and on all letterheads and stationery and signs and publications, and Prabhupada is the founder acharya. Going into the future, Prabhupada said, in the future there may be many acharyas, but there's one founder acharya. And all acharyas are at the feet of the founder acharya, and therefore Prabhupada, where there may be many Prabhus, but they're at the feet of Prabhupada. That's ISKCON. And if one wants to be part of ISKCON, that's the program. And it's, you know, it's rightly so, for the preservation going into the future of this wonderful teaching as given to us by our founder Acharya. That unique position of Srila Prabhupada is critical. And when those teachings are presented by whoever is presenting his teachings as members of ISKCON, there must be high fidelity, like complete harmony, transparency of Prabhupada's teachings with the teachings that someone is giving, whatever that teaching is that they're giving. And therefore, his Bhaktivedanta purports are so critical that we become familiar with them. That they're simply presenting the commentaries of our previous acharyas, but the way in which they're established, the points of emphasis, and whatever are the adjustments that Prabhupada has made, not in content, but in detail of how they're presented to the world, we have to be in fidelity with those teachings. And by so doing, that's the previous verse, the association with pure devotees of the Lord. By so doing, what do those pure devotees do? They do what the pure devotee does in his association. They talk about Krishna, Krishna Katha. So, yatredyante katha rishtas. Yatra means where. So to establish a place of Krishna's pastimes is just sit down somewhere and have kirtan. And just have Krishna katha. And then distribute prasadam. Prabhupada said our program is very simple. It's four things. Chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy. That's the Hare Krishna movement. Chanting, dancing, feasting, philosophy. Is it difficult? Chanting and dancing. Not difficult. Feasting is not difficult. Philosophy is not difficult. It's very nice philosophy. That's our... And where that takes place, that's... The Supreme Lord is being manifest. There's this reference to this nice verse. It's from Padma Purana, where the personality of Godhead is speaking to Narada. And as you heard the translation, the Supreme Lord says, I'm not in Vaikuntha. People think I'm in Vaikuntha. I'm not in Vaikuntha. Huh? And nor am I in the hearts of the yogis. Krishna's in Vaikuntha and Krishna's in the heart of the yogis. But that realization, what is it meaning? He's not there. That the fullness or the realization, the relationship with him is not experienced except through this one thing. Through that place where the topics of the personality of Godhead are discussed amongst the devotees. I'm there. He can tangibly, palpably be experienced, and one can enter into a relationship with him through that medium. Thus, this example of the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Rasa dance of Krishna, they're non-different. In bhava, they're non-different. In external appearance, they're different. But Krishna performs his pastimes in that medium. And although we were not physically present, maybe we were, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes, but time is not the necessary element. It's the mood, accepting the activity with the proper mood of glorification of the names and qualities and pastimes and forms and activities of the personality of Godhead. That is Sankirtan. Literally, it means congregational chanting. So, this what we're doing right now, this is one form of Sankirtan, and the Mridanga Kartal chanting, that is another form of Kirtan. Both go nicely together. And when one in the association of devotees who are very purposely dedicated to the personality of God and attaining his association through that process, then Trishnaya Prashamo Yataha, what this word Trishna is an important word. Trishna means thirst. And according to the teaching of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are four different categories of anarthas or impurities of heart that block one from being able to chant Hare Krishna without offense. And this is one of them. Asat Trishna. Thirst for the temporary. Asat Trishna. So what the verse is saying is when this hearing and chanting goes on, Trishnaya, this thirst disappears. Material hankering, at least for a short while, it disappears. And prashama. Prashama means it disappears because one is feeling an inner satisfaction. You know the verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says if one tries to give up the objects of the senses, but the mind is still dwelling on those objects you're trying to give up, it's quite incomplete, or it's even pretense. But how the objects of the sense can be given up is by experiencing a higher taste. Pram drishtva navartante. Vishaya vinivartante niraharsha dehinam. Rasovarjam rasopyasya pram drishtva navartate. Vishaya, sense enjoyment. Same as this, Trishna. So you just replace the asat Trishna with Krishna Trishna. A hankering or a thirst for Krishna Katha. So it's very nice to see the assembly on a Sunday morning, very early after a work week, and people are worn out. But you're here early to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha from Srimad Bhagavatam. And by that method, the prajetas are saying, and they have practical experience also, it's not just something theoretical, and we also have practical experience. We wouldn't be here otherwise. We'd be doing something else on a Sunday morning, like sleeping in, like many people do. I don't know what it's like in Hyderabad, but it's probably like it is in New York. On Sunday morning, it's quiet. Very little traffic on Sunday morning. If you need to travel, I've learned this from living in New York, if you need to travel somewhere on a Sunday morning, because the roadways are very quiet. And they're quiet because people are... because Saturday night they were out partying or doing something till late at night, and the Sunday morning is quiet. The day of rest. Asat Trishna is slackened by the process of hearing and chanting. And the result, that is a byproduct of feeling satisfaction. By feeling satisfaction, one doesn't hanker for other things. There's several verses in the Bhagavatam that indicate like that. By the very process of devotional service, by specifically the devotional service starting with hearing, viraktir anyatra cha. One develops a detachment. Para isha anubhav, some anubhav, some emotion and ecstasy in relation to the personality of Godhead, and bhakti, the desire to serve him. They in sequence, they naturally awaken. Bhaktir. Para isha anubhav viraktir anyatracha. When you're satisfied within, the external doesn't attract anymore. We all have that experience. Things that, like Prabhupada used to regularly speak about his European American disciples before they were devotees, they would do so many things. And now they don't do those things. They're happy just being in kirtan and serving the spiritual master and worshipping the deity and sankirtan and distributing books and the things that are impure activities. He would give the example, the American government, at least during some period of time, they were spending millions and millions and millions to try to stop drug addiction. And it was not going anywhere. They were just spending and spending. But then he was saying, but aren't my students, before they were doing those things, and now they're not doing those things. And I haven't spent millions and millions. It's just give the process of devotional service, starting. So it's practical. Not just, you know, high talking, and it's not true. If we follow the process carefully, these things happen. And nirvairam yatra bhuteshu. Nirvairam, even the tendency to be envious, yatra bhuteshu, in the association of others. That's this material world. That's a place of envy. But as we were discussing yesterday evening, this principle of cooperation is we place another principle above what this lower nature is, this tamagun rajagun nature of hankering and lamenting. And putting in its place serving. And we're serving the spiritual master and Krishna. And we're doing so in the company of other living entities. So we if we're following properly, if we're hearing nicely, we give up that envious tendency and put something else, serving tendency. That's stronger. That's natural. The other is a disease tendency. So the healthy tendency is restored. But again, another example that Prabhupada would often give is if you have a disease, some illness, you go to a physician, a doctor, and the doctor says, your illness, disease, here's the diagnosis, here's the medicine, here's some restrictions, that some do's and some don'ts. So if you go to the physician and you don't follow the do's and the don'ts, what's the use? Why spend money and time and go to the physician? But if it's a qualified physician and you follow the do's and the don'ts, and he's diagnosed the disease correctly, the illness should subside. But then, within religious systems, there are some do's and don'ts. But here's the next level. If you follow those things, and then again you go and get the disease. Then again you go to the physician. He says, oh, you've got same disease. Here's the do's and the don'ts. And you follow them. And you get well again. And then again you go and get the same disease. What's the use of that? So in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit is asking, or speaking to Shukadeva Goswami, what's the use of the atonement process, the going to the physician, getting a remedy for the disease, then you go and get and contract the disease again. What's that system that can take away the tendency to get the disease again? That is this envious condition of the heart. Raga dvesha samutena, dvandva mohena bharata. One takes birth in this material world overcome by desire and hate. Raga and dvesha, attraction for the position of being the enjoyer of prakriti, which we're not, we're para prakriti, but we're not the Purusha. The Supreme Lord is the Purusha, and we're the servant of the Purusha. So taking that step and becoming the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakening that natural tendency by the process of hearing and chanting, nirvairam, this tendency for enviousness is cured permanently. Like, no more disease. That's a good physician. No more disease. But as long as we have a material body, there's going to be disease, so we need a spiritual body. So develop a spiritual body. And from that position, no more disease. But we have to be willing to take the medicine and follow the restrictions. And one who does so experiences this tendency, material tendency, that's anybody that has one of these things called a material body is going to have that problem. Or we get a body because we have that problem. This is a symptom of that problem. So we have to address the root, like I was discussing the other evening, about pulling out the root, finding out if there's a problem in human relationships. What's the deeper thing that's behind it? Something that just doesn't seem to get resolved. It's this enviousness. We can't cooperate and work cooperatively and peacefully and in a Vaikuntha atmosphere if in deep seated in the heart there's enviousness. I want to be the enjoyer. No, I want to be the enjoyer. And then it's... It's animal life. It's not Vaikuntha life. Vaikuntha life is one gives that up. But you can't just give it up unless you take shelter of something that's higher. Param drishtva navartate. That's inner satisfaction. Prashama yataha nai vairam nirvairam yatra bhuteshu nodvega yatra kashchana. Nodvega yatra kashchana means there's no longer any fear. And as long as one has this temporary body and identifies with it, then there's fear. It might get hurt, it might be perished. Something that's an extension of this body that I think is mine, it might be taken from me, and so on. There's fear. But when one is fixed in spiritual consciousness, it's a fearless state. During one of our japa retreats, we have this practice at the beginning where we have a sankalpa. You know the meaning, sankalpa? Sankalpa means purpose or intention, just like in a karmakanda ritual. At the beginning, you perform a particular karmakanda ritual because you want something. I want good health, or I want wealth, or I want a husband or a wife, or I want my endeavor to be successful. Something, you want something. And what that something that you want, it's a sankalpa. So then you approach a particular devata to fulfill your sankalpa. And it's stated explicitly, right at the front end of that yajna, karmakanda yajna. I want my sankalpa fulfilled. So in a spiritual Krishna conscious dimension, there's also a sankalpa, the intention when we enter into our retreat. What is it, you know, you can say it this way. what brought you here to the retreat? What is it that you're hoping to attain or achieve or accomplish? Sankalpa. So we, you know, make a little write down sankalpa. What's that? And the encouragement is to look at it like a magnifying lens. You know what a magnifying lens is? Like a magnifying glass. Because you can take the light of the sun and hold the magnifying glass at a certain angle and shine it on a piece of paper. The light is very broad. If you hold it at the right angle, the right distance, it becomes very, very concentrated and it can burn a hole in the paper. It can start a fire. The light of the sun that we're already exposed to, but pass it through a magnifying glass at the right angle, held in the right way, it becomes very intense heat. You put it on your skin, it's ouch, it burns. It's not imagination, it's concentrated heat. So a sankalpa can work that way if we're chanting not just unfocused but focused specifically what is it that you'd like to achieve. It helps you to concentrate on your chanting. So one of the devotees, they wrote down their sankalpas. We asked, you know, anybody like to volunteer what their sankalpa is, and one said, I'd like to enter a state of fearlessness through the medium of chanting. Nice. Because that's Vaikuntha. No anxiety. There's anxiety because we're afraid something is going to happen, maybe something. Something will be taken, something. I'll be harmed, something. Subtle or gross. Fearlessness. No dvega. By this process of hearing and chanting, that takes place. So, last point is that Prabhupada in the purport makes reference to a verse from Prahlad Maharaj and his discussion with his beloved father, Hiranyakashipu. Many times Prabhupada spoke. Prahlad Maharaj never specifically said, my dear father. He spoke with him, he addressed him, Asuryavaj, O best of the Asuryas. Very respectfully. O best of the Asuras. This particular reference is when Hiranyakashipu called for Prahlad to come sit on his lap, and he was very affectionately holding his son on his lap. Even Prabhupada describes tears were coming down his cheeks. He had affection for his son, natural fatherly affection. And because he's busy with the affairs of state, he just asks, you know, the simple question, what's the best thing that you've learned in school? His father didn't like what he heard. He spoke about devotional service. Where did you learn this? And Prahlad's response is, don't worry, my dear father. This won't enter your consciousness because your attachment, asat grahat, just like asat trishna, asat grahat, just like griha or grihasta means home. And so there's griha medi and there's grihasta, but griha is the home. Asat graha. Where your home is asat. Like where you just dwell in the realm of asat. For such persons, not only bhakti will never awaken, but in the life of such a person, they're filled with anxiety. filled with anxiety. Not a little bit of anxiety. Filled with anxiety. And become so busy just trying to sort through that filled with anxiety program. Like, just turn the volume down a little bit and you're feeling better. Or take some kind of intoxication so you don't feel it at all. Or run around wild and pretend like it doesn't hurt. And that's material society. Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna diyam asat grahat. The part that Prabhupada quotes in the verses, samudvigna diyam. Diyam means intelligence. Diya. And samudvigna is full of anxieties. So samudvigna diyam asat grahat. And sada, there's no break. It's incessant. Even in sleep, is not even relief, go to sleep. In sleep, people are in anxiety. Because they're just dreaming of things that are what happens when they're awake and they're asleep. There's no relief. It's awful. Hitvatmapatam griham andakupam vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. So the recommendation he's making is such persons should leave that situation, go to the forest, and take shelter. Now, Prabhupada embellishes it nicely and says, really, this means go to Vrindavan because that's where the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is, and everything is Krishna conscious in Vrindavan. He just like embellishes it nicely. But it's a very similar message to the message that Prahlad is giving to his father that Vidura was giving to Dhritarashtra. Because that was Dhritarashtra's plight. He was attached. Asat grahat. And he was in such samudvigna diyam. Even after his intention was to install his own sons on the throne, and to do that, he was ready to violate all types of dharma. He was advised again and again by Vidura and others, you'll lose everything. And sure enough, he lost everything. He lost all of his 100 sons, and his whole dream just evaporated. And yet in his mind, he was so attached, he stayed in the royal palace, as Vidura says, taking crumbs from the plates of those who killed your 100 sons. You're shameless. Because you're so attached. Give up this attachment. Go to the forest. Let go of this. Don't die in that condition. You'll have to bear the reaction of so much sinful activity. At least relieve yourself of that experience. Leave it once. So Prabhupada explains there are these three levels. We'll start at the bottom. Dhira, sannyas, narottama. What we're hearing the prajetas advise is the narottama stage. Because Dhritarashtra was so attached, no question of becoming a topmost living being. It was like a stretch for him just to let go. But that's not ultimate. Dhira is to let go of those sources of misery and take shelter in a detached position. So that's a preliminary to formal sannyas. Not only renouncing the world, but engaging in the positive activities of hearing and chanting and glorification, and narottama is fully absorbed in that, where there's nothing else touching you. There's no attraction or attachment for anything but that one thing. Krishna. That's the topmost. Nara Uttama. The topmost living being. The Bhagavatam wants to take us there. And if we follow the process That's where we're headed. But minimally, this detachment, trishnaya prashamo yataha, by doing what we're doing right now, regularly, hearing shunbata, swakata, Krishna, punya, shravana, kirtana, it's quoted in the purport. Riddhyantaksto abhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. The impure things become cleansed by the natural process of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, these wonderful topics. So Prabhupada has given us this wonderful process and a place to do it. He established this temple personally. He designed it. He received the land, made the design, arranged for the funds, and boom, here it is. And so many years later, we're receiving that gift that he gave us. He's our father, or spiritual father, who gave us this gift of Krishna consciousness. And he requested that we maintain it nicely. For those who were not present yesterday evening, one of the fundamental principles that he gave for maintaining it properly was cooperating together. We all have different ideas of how to serve Krishna nicely. We should cooperate together. And the system that he gave us was, just repeating some of the messages, he had a structure. He had some persons that he invested authority with, and he was, through the things that we read, advising how to cooperate under that authority structure and work together to expand, just as is happening here. Under current leadership, it's expanding. And let the expansion happen in a manageable way, like, you know, not out of control, where we can't properly maintain the standards and the finance and so forth, but do so in a proper way, and it's going to grow. It's just like a seed. You just keep nourishing it nicely. It's going to grow. Last thing. Prabhupada one time took a plum seed and held it in his hand like this and said, inside this plum seed is a plum tree. And if properly nurtured, that little seed will grow into a plum tree which will produce so many plums. And inside the plums are so many seeds. And inside those seeds is another tree. And you properly nurture that tree that's inside the plum seed, and you'll have another plum tree, which will produce so many plums. And inside, like that. So he said, let the scientists make one plum seed. That they cannot do. Even give them the ingredients. Here's all the ingredients for the plum seed. Go ahead, make one. That they cannot do. Because it's not a material event. It's a transcendental. There's life. And similarly, within the Hare Krishna movement, there's life. It's invested with life by the blessings of the personality of Godhead and his transcendental associates. And we just follow that gift that has been so mercifully handed to us, very carefully observe the proper way of conducting ourselves in the association of devotees by standards very clearly given to us, and it will grow. It will grow nicely. Strong emphasis upon hearing and chanting. It will grow nicely. That's the watering process. And then there's the weeding process that comes also when you're growing something. Hare Krishna. Any discussion on this morning's verse? comments or questions? Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you were telling about sankalpa. So, you know, while chanting also, what should be our proper sankalpa, like, you know, while chanting?
Personal.
And while performing devotional activities like hearing or rendering service?
Our sankalpas will be influenced by the quality of our hearing and chanting, our quality of our hearing. So the beginning, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Chatur vidha bhajante mam jana sukritanorjana. And he lists the four categories. Someone wants artha. Somebody else wants relief from distress. Someone is curious. Someone wants knowledge. So that's a starting point. But by hearing, those become refined and cleansed and uplifted. And so by hearing, our sankalpa is going to change. So your question was, what should our sankalpa be? My answer is, it should be something from your heart, genuine, not artificial, because it won't stay focused if it's artificial. Even if it's like Dhruva Maharaj, you know, karma mishra bhakti, strong material desire. It was genuine. He wanted that kingdom. So if it's genuine, in course of time, that sankalpa will become refined. So something that's very personal to you, that you mean it and you can stay with it, you know, hold that magnifying lens steady and let the light of the holy name pass through that lens and enter your heart. And that sankalpa will be refined in time by the hearing process and the process of devotional service in general. Vidhunoti suritsatam.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were mentioning that the love and the commitment that the devotees have for Srila Prabhupada is profound and compelling, and that as time progresses, we have to sustain that process. Like, say for example, our appreciation for Rupa Goswami is through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
So likewise, going forward, I see that our appreciation for Srila Prabhupada is through the appreciation of the current Acharya. Is that the... Or is there...
Yes. But it's important, I'll respond in this way. It's important whether it's the current spiritual masters or the predecessor spiritual masters, that we look upon that, members of ISKCON look upon that, either prior or current, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And our training should be like that. Those who are training others should train others like that, because it's true. Our glimpse at the predecessor acharyas is through the Bhaktivedanta purports. So we can go directly to the writings of the acharyas. But when you do that, if you know, I've done that on occasion, and it's brilliant what Prabhupada has done in his Bhaktivedanta purports. He's taken very, very eloquent, elevated, subtle messages from the acharyas and made it like baby food. So digestible. So attractive. So easy to approach. It enhances the appreciation, for me, of what Srila Prabhupada has achieved. And another very important element is how profoundly Prabhupada has manifested the mercy of Krishna and those teachings into the world. He was empowered like... Who else was empowered like that in the whole history of religion? How long did it take for Christianity to spread around the world? centuries. Prabhupada was uniquely empowered. So, past or present, through the lens of this Prabhupada Kripa, mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We wouldn't have access to our present spiritual masters if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada. It's true. And the other, you know, persons that just go and read the writings of the Acharyas, they're scholars, present-day scholars that are getting their PhDs in the writings of Jiva Goswami. They're not becoming bhaktas. Some, something. But, you know, without the system, without a current link, it's abstract. It's intellectual. This and that, and it doesn't go to the spiritual platform. It stays, commonly at least, it stays on the intellectual platform. And they're comparing. I know a person that has done his, and I won't go into details. He liked this one as opposed to that one, and it's very intellectual. The bhakti is not the same. You follow my reply?
Hare Krishna. So mentioning about the the sankalpa part, sometimes we take even devotional sankalpas, and at the time of taking the sankalpa, it may not be clear that it may be a part of the mental, you know, sankalpa vikalpa process of the mind. So how does one distinguish that? Because a lot of time gets passed to find out that it's not on a spiritual platform.
This is a how-to question. I mean, the answer is by the process of devotional service. We can take it for granted, if I understood your question correctly, we can take it for granted that in the beginning, our purposes are not so elevated. There's something and something. Mix.
Even the devotionally apparent sankalpa, I mean, it appears like it's a devotional sankalpa.
Well, it may appear to us, but someone who's more elevated, it may not appear to them as being so spiritual. You know, so it's a mix. Just take it for granted, because if it were not so, then we would be in the category of pure devotees, and we're not in the category of pure devotees, but there's some devotion, so there's a mix. Although it may appear to us, because we're a little bit covered, that, you know, it's very nice. But we can just take it for granted. It's mixed. And that there must be, as we become, were we to become elevated and purified, it's going to undergo some change, some enhancement, some purified condition. And we should be eager for that. For that to happen, there has to be some willingness to let go of the contaminated portion. A very inspiring example is Queen Kunti. I mean, compared to Queen Kunti, what are we? And Queen Kunti is praying, let me become purified of my attachments for the Pandavas and the Rishnis, at least the material portion of that. Let there be just Krishna-centered attachment. So that means, you know, we have our friends, we have our family, and we're trying to be Krishna conscious. We got a long way to go. The frame is fine, because you have to begin where you are. You can't begin where you aren't. You have to begin where you are. And from where you are, be realistic with where you are, and be eager and ready to move to a more Krishna-centered position. Exclusively, avyavichari bhakti. Strive for that, and that means a willingness to let go of our contamination, our material attachment, that portion, because we're mixed. So it takes some, you know, another way of responding, a shorter way of responding, is it takes some humility to recognize, I may not be on the platform of perfection right now. That's just being honest. And with humility, I have to move forward from where I am, but let me keep the goal in mind, and I can have an understanding of the goal through the example provided in this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam. Either by those who have achieved perfection or those who are in the process of achieving perfection. I'll give one example that's recently from my reading of the Bhagavatam I found inspiring. Vidura is in the forest with Maitreya in the third canto. And Vidura asks some spiritually challenging questions, rather than going to the detail. He's Vidura, he's, you know, Yamaraj, he's up there. And even before he left the palace, he was revered by everyone as very wise. And then 34 years of pilgrimage and purification, and he's bewildered by a certain thing, rather than detailing what that thing is. And he presents it to Maitreya. You know, you're qualified. You're not bewildered like me. And Maitreya pauses because the question is so challenging that he also feels challenged. It's just his humility. It's part of the position of one who is pure is to not think, I've got the answer to everything. Just ask me whatever you like, and I've got the answer to everything. And he begins his reply by saying, I will express as best I can that which I have heard. He's not placing himself in a high position. He's keeping himself in a very humble position, although he's fully qualified. So what to speak of ourselves, who may think something about ourselves? You know, of course I'm right. Just ask me. I'll tell you. Of course I'm right. It's like this. I've got a grip on it. I know the truth. Last question, someone in the back had their hand up.
While chanting, maybe after fifth or sixth round, I'm going into like meditation and my hands are off the beads, and suddenly when I realize that, you know, I'm not counting. So is this a normal thing or something wrong with me? Or
when questions like that would come to Srila Prabhupada, he would say, just keep chanting. The important element is that you're giving your undivided attention to the holy name. That's the important element. So, saying the same thing differently, becoming Krishna conscious doesn't mean becoming unconscious. It means becoming conscious. And when you're conscious of Krishna, you're conscious of all things. I mean, not that you don't become omniscient, but you're aware. Because you're conscious of Krishna and all things are under Krishna's direction. You don't become oblivious or something like that. Dissociated is the clinical term. You're conscious. And you may not be reacting emotionally or behaviorally to what's happening, but you're conscious of what's happening. Like Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten in 21 marketplaces with canes by very strong men. And he was just so absorbed in chanting, it was not affecting him, physically, emotionally, or anyways. Now, that was because Lord Chaitanya was protecting him. But he wasn't unconscious of what was happening. But he was fully absorbed in the chanting of the holy name at the same time. And at the end of the 21st marketplace, the men that were beating him said, this is incredible. No one has survived beyond the third marketplace. Maybe the fourth marketplace, but 21 marketplaces, and we're exhausted. You're just like as fresh as anything. We can't understand what's happening. And we're in big trouble because if the Kazi comes to find out that nothing happened, he'll think we just goofed off and we didn't do our job. So Haridas Thakur said, oh, I didn't know you'd be in trouble, so I guess I can just leave if you like. He just closed his eyes and looked like he was dead. He just was in trance. You know, his external was acting according to his will. So they brought the body before the Kazi. And then, so that the pronouncement was, bury the body. But there was an antagonist who said, no, don't bury the body. Because in our religion, if the body is buried, then you ascend to heaven. He shouldn't go to heaven. Just throw his body in the river, like an animal that dies. You just throw it in the river. He said, okay, throw it in the river. So they threw his body in the river, and downstream he came to external consciousness as walking along the bank of the Ganga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then he came right before the Kazi. And he said, I realize that you are the saint that everyone was saying that you are, and I've made a big offense. But anyway, he was being conscious, where your consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, you become not unconscious, you become conscious. Just not, you know, behaviors are not forced and dictated to by circumstance, because there's an inner something that's the essence where consciousness is placed. Prahlad Maharaj was very clear what his father was up to. But his consciousness was fixed in remembrance of this Vishnu Smaranam. That was his perfection. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.